Will you all please take your seats, please? I want to start the show. Please take your seats. You in the back, please, please take your seats, please. Please sit down. Please sit.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
We're out of popcorn and alcohol. Hey, where are you going? Hey, where are you going? Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am? No. You can relax. Nothing important is going to happen here. Go back to your homes. Nothing of any consequence shall occur during the next half hour. You can relax and rely upon that. We're going to take a field trip today to Bed Bath & Beyond, and we're going to aimlessly wander the aisles looking for a spatula and a bed sheet. Let's go. I went to Bed Bath & Beyond yesterday because I had a coupon, you see, which everybody else has. It makes you feel very special when you have that 20% off coupon. And then you realize everybody else has one too, and all of a sudden, you don't feel all that special. Why in the world would you go to that store without a coupon? What would be the point? You'd look like a fool. You'd be so stupid looking. You know, Bed Bath & Beyond does not sell beds. I know, it's kind of odd. And no baths. They have accessories for them, but they don't have the actual product. I think that's false advertising. They have a lot of Beyond. Go to aisle 7, 8, and 9. That's where they have the Beyond stuff. I don't know what Beyond means, but there's three aisles of it. I like to go to stores and wander the aisles. It reminds me of when I was young, when my mother used to abandon me in the store and just leave me there, and I just wandered the aisles yelling, "Mommy, Mommy," and she never showed up. Until I went to the Beyond aisles, that's where she'd pick me up later on in the afternoon at 4 o'clock. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. Thank you so much. All right, please, save your applause to the end of the show. When you applaud like that in the middle of the program, it messes me up. I forget where I was. It's just the adulation is overwhelming. I went to, I hate to use this show to admit my religious mistakes. Yesterday, I was so freaking hungry. It was 9 o'clock at night, and I stopped by. Oh, I can't even say this out loud. This is so embarrassing. Oh, I stopped by. Oh, I can't even say that. Oh, the lips are not moving to form the words. I actually drove and stopped by Burger King. I know. Oh my God, no. I can't believe I did that. And as I was driving toward the Burger King building, I felt this incredible Catholic guilt, and I'm not even Catholic. music was ill-placed. Yeah, oh my God. Upon entering the parking lot of the Burger King, where I had not been in probably at least 3 years, upon entering the parking lot, I had to make a very quick decision. Do I go inside or do I go through the drive-thru? I didn't know what to do. I felt like calling my attorney and my therapist. What do I do? Well, I didn't want to go inside because I realized quickly other people are in there. And I don't want to go into a building where people have consciously made a decision to go to Burger King. I made a mistake. They went there on purpose. So I didn't do that. I figure I'll go through the drive-thru. That way I don't have to see anybody. They don't see me. I don't have to touch anybody. I'm just interacting with a speaker and a lit-up menu. So I drove to the drive-in thing. Driving to the drive-in thing makes a lot of sense to me at this particular junction. So I drive up, and the little speaker immediately says to me, "Welcome to Burger King." Oh, don't say that. Don't rub it in like that. "Welcome to Burger King. How can I help you?" "You can help me by getting me out of here." But it's 9 o'clock at night. My options are few, and I'm hungry. So I say to the speaker, "What do you have that I will not regurgitate within 20 minutes upon entering my body?" And the speaker said, "Nothing under that category." Ooh, admitting that the food was caustic to my body. So I said, do you have a couple of cheeseburgers by any chance in your establishment?" And they said, "Yes, 2 cheeseburgers, that's fine. That's off of our value menu." Oh, I'm going to eat something of great value. Okay, not so bad a choice, I guess. And then the person said, "Would you like fries or onion rings with that?" Ooh, what are you trying to do, kill me? "Onion rings, please." "Large or small?" "Well, let's not go stupid here." "Oh, small." "Small." So there I was. And then they said, "Drive to the first window." I said, "Well, I usually do drive to the first window I see." It would have confused me if they said, "Drive to the third window, but don't stop. Stop at the fifth window, but don't go to the sixth. That's where we keep the dead bodies." Okay, I will not drive to the sixth window. My order came to $3.50. That's going to break the bank. I gave this lady the money, to which she replied, "You stupid asshole." I said, "Oh my God, they're even admitting that this was a mistake." Then she hands me a bag with the 2 burgers in it and some onion rings. Well, I pulled to the side of the road as if a police officer had pulled me over, and I started eating the burgers. I can't eat the cheeseburgers from any place. I can't eat food in the car while the car's in motion. The car will not move. A safety device on my cars. No, I don't want ketchup on my body. I don't want anybody knowing that I was eating a hamburger in my car. And are those really hamburgers? What are they really? Items of insanity. So I ate the 2 burgers, and there's a little bag of onion rings. And the bag of onion rings is full of onion rings. It's not a big bag. Let's not go crazy here. It was a small bag. But there were some more onion rings at the bottom of the big carryout bag, about 5 or 6 of them. And I thought, did these just spill in by mistake? Are these bonus rings? You know, it's funny, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, before you deliberate and go into that room. You know, it's funny. We are such an odd bunch of people. Well, not me, you. Even in the onion ring family, if we feel like we've gotten some extra onion rings for free, that it's going to be a great day. What the hell is wrong with us? Ron, what kind of day you having? This is the best day ever, Bob. I dip into my Burger King bag, which I am embarrassed to say I had one. And at the bottom of the bag were like three or four extra onion rings that I had not counted on at all. Bob, this is the luckiest day of my life. Ron, what about the time you had your children? You got married. You got your first job. What about those wonderful moments? Your quincentera. I don't know what that is, by the way. Weren't those your... No, Bob. Nothing compares to you. Nothing compares to Sinead O'Connor, ladies and gentlemen, 1827. Nothing compares to putting your hand in a bag and coming out with extra rings. Nothing. Nothing compares to that. Sinead O'Connor. That bald-headed bastard. Remember her? How old are you? Raise your hand if you know who Sinead O'Connor is. Look, not many of you. Oh, just two of you. Sinead O'Connor was a bald woman. Why? There's probably a backstory to it, because back in those days, and was it the 90s or the 80s or something? 90s, probably. I don't really know. She was Irish. She had an Irish brogue or Irish brooch. I don't know which it was. But she spoke to the point where I couldn't understand her. And she sang this song, Nothing Compares to You. It was such a hit for such a long period of time. It was a very dismal, droll, depressing song. If you ever were considering committing suicide, you would definitely play this song in the background. It would help you along in order to achieve that particular goal. It was a droll, horrible, horrible song, but incredibly popular. So that's Sinead O'Connor. And she actually, and I read about this, and which makes it true, the song, everybody thought the title of the song was Nothing Compares to You. That was not, it was Nothing Compares to Sticking Your Hand in a Burger King Bag and Coming Up with Extra Rings. That was the song. And it remains depressing today for that very reason. So I ate the two burgers, the little tiny things, a little burger. They're not really burgers. They're more like, what do they call those things? Hockey pucks. I ate those things, and I ate the onion rings, and I was on the toilet an hour later. I had to go anyway, so what the hell? And that was my experience. I'm glad that I mentioned it on this program, because I had planned to go to church today to confession. Again, I'm not of that religion, so that's an extreme move for me. I was looking forward to sitting down in that little booth and having a priest on the other side of that little screened wall say to me, I don't know what they say because I've never been to confession. I am assuming they say, what did you do now? I think that's what they say. And I would say, I went to Burger King yesterday, and I imagine that the priest would have stood up in anger and said, I cannot handle this. I was going to suggest that you said like 23 Hail Marys, but when you told me you went to Burger King and then that you actually got the onion rings on top of those stupid little burgers, I am out of here. I am quitting the church. I'll find a job as a, maybe I'll get a job at Wendy's, but I'm out of here. That is a sin that you shall never, never live down or live up. I don't know what it is. I don't know if I'm living up or loving down. I have a shirt. It's a dress shirt. I don't know if it's a button-up shirt or a button-down shirt. I think they're the same, but it just depends on whether you're optimistic or pessimistic. You have a shirt? Is it a button-up shirt? No, it's a button-down. Oh, I'm so sorry. That's not the worst of it. Yesterday, I went to Burger King. Oh my God! You are kidding. No, I did go and I ordered. I'm so sad.
Gentlemen, you know that when you decide to get engaged, you'll be making one of the most important investments of your life. Think about it. From the moment you get down on bended knee and present the ring, how much you actually love someone will be judged solely on the size of the stone you buy. And not just by the one you love, but by literally everyone she knows. And strangers. At Schlickershek the Jewelers, we know that when you're about to cough up what amounts to a few months' rent to obtain the exclusive naming rights to a vagina, you want to be able to be sure that you've made the best choice. So if you've decided it's time to staple gun your man tackle to a single hitching post and to never be able to experience the simple joy of a meaningless hookup without handing over half your stuff, come to Schlickershek the Jewelers and see our amazing line of certified high-quality shallow female ego strokers. Take it from me, Herbert Schlickershek the, I'm not just your local jeweler, I've been married 6.5 times. Vegas marriages, boys. Very easy to annul when the shrew goes south on you. And she will.
Megan Jacobs joins us. She's managing director of the product for the Innovation Center and the Truth Initiative. And Parker Kearns, who is a college student. And we're speaking to them about e-cigarettes, which many people are familiar with, some people aren't, depending on your generational background. Let me say before we start, you both have very cool names. Megan Jacobs, Parker Kearns, those are power names. I'm going to name my kids after you.
All right, fine.
I mean, really, there's good names. All right. Anyway, e-cigarettes, were these intended at a point to replace cigarettes?
You know, the hope when e-cigarettes first came on the market is that they would be a resource for adult smokers who would have a new tool to quit.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, the reality is that many young people who had never been smokers and perhaps never would have been smokers started using them, and now we're in a situation where millions of young people are using a very dangerous product.
Yeah, it sounds cool because it's got an E in front of it, but otherwise not. And they're more flavorful. I mean, they're more possible. I just, yeah, kind of turned the wrong direction. Parker, were you a cigarette smoker?
I was not a cigarette smoker. I started off with e-cigarettes because, like you guys are talking about, it's the fruity flavors. It's not like menthol or tobacco that gets you
right
into it. It's more of like the cotton candy, the strawberry, and that's what kind of partially what drew me into it as well.
Yeah, okay. And you enjoyed it at first. At what point did you say to yourself, I don't want to continue with this?
There were a lot of times before I finally ended up eventually quitting with the truth that I wanted to quit. I just felt, you know, withdrawals and whatnot. I just didn't have the support system. But it was fairly quickly into when I started vaping tobacco that it became like a struggle of mental health. You know, I'd have panic attacks and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
So it was very difficult.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you had panic attacks, but unfortunately not everybody does, which would kind of drive them away from doing things like that. But many people don't have that driving force to be able to quit. Megan, are e-cigarettes as dangerous as cigarettes were? Are we replacing something with something else that has the same problem?
Well, it's a bit of a complicated question. From a physical health perspective, an e-cigarette is safer than a traditional combusted cigarette because you don't have the burning and the chemicals that are released from burning. However, e-cigarettes deliver nicotine at much higher levels, much faster, and we're seeing people, especially young people, who are vaping the equivalent of a pack of cigarettes a day or more, and that level of nicotine is particularly dangerous for young people and their developing brains.
So we didn't really solve anything here, did we?
No. Yeah. Unfortunately, we have a new problem to contend with now with young people who are hooked on something that is very damaging to them, both physically and mentally, and also just emotionally, feeling controlled by an addictive substance.
Yeah. Just for a second, I want to just take it a little bit deeper with marijuana, even though it's a different ball game. But anything where you inhale and you keep it in your lung area for an extended period of time before you release it, I don't know how that's possibly good. I never understood that part of it. It's like you're holding in this stuff in your internal organs before you release it. I never got that. I never understood that. As much as they are very addictive and wonderful, the concept of it is just like odd to me. Anyway,
there were lots of young people, especially when e-cigarettes first came on the market, because the behavior was called vaping. They actually thought that they were vaping something completely harmless, like water vapor. And in reality, what they're vaping is an aerosol that contains lots of different chemicals that are irritants to the lungs and to the throat and mouth. So many young people didn't even realize when they first started vaping that almost all e-cigarettes contain nicotine. Many young people did not know that.
I know that there's some CDC data that I was quite amazed. I thought there are a few people here and there that vape. I don't see a lot of it. But it's a lot more than I think. Is that true?
Yes. Right now, we have about 1 in 5 high school students are vaping, and several million young adults are vaping as well.
Wow.
And e-cigarettes are actually the most commonly used tobacco product among both teens and young adults.
Yeah, especially because you can't smoke indoors anymore, or in many situations. And in some cases, and not all, vaping is accepted where cigarettes are not. I know in some places you can't even vape. Anything that's expelled into the air is considered unhealthy for others.
True. And there are secondhand effects of vaping as well.
Are there really? Okay, let's talk about that really quickly. Certainly not on the level of cigarette smoke, but still concerned?
Correct. Not on the level of cigarette smoke, but there absolutely is still you're exhaling a substance that doesn't naturally occur in the air.
Yeah.
Other people can breathe that in, and it can land on surfaces. There have been, you know, exposures of very young children, babies and toddlers who, you know, get it on their hands or lick a surface, and it can have particulate matter from an e-cigarette being exhaled. So there absolutely are second and third hand effects as well, but not on the level of cigarettes, but still dangerous.
Bad enough. Parker, let me ask you, when you finally were able to quit the e-cigarettes, did you feel better? Was it like worth it?
Absolutely. I mean, the feelings of anxiety still persist. It's a long running issue, but the effects are definitely lessened. I don't feel like anxiety spikes or panic attacks nearly as frequently anymore. My brain feels a lot clearer. I'm able to focus a lot better. I just feel a lot healthier in general. I'm able to, like, sit down without, you know, amping to myself or anything like that. I'm just able to sit and focus and be clear. And it's been a very positive change in my mental health and physical health.
That's great. You know, Megan, when we talk about being addicted to something, it doesn't have to be physical necessarily. It can be psychological addictions, too. Just the idea of the action of putting something in your mouth and you know, doing that frequently. I mean, that's an addiction too, isn't it?
Absolutely. Any addictive substance has two components to it. There's a physical habitual component, and then there's also a chemical mental addiction that is really, it has retrained your brain to crave that substance and to make you think that you need it, that that substance is the only thing that's going to make you feel better. And, you know, that's how addictive drugs work. There's a habit component of when you commonly do that behavior, and there's a chemical addiction that's happened in your brain. And that's why we developed This Is Quitting as a program to help guide young people through that experience of quitting, because we know that it's very hard, especially for young people, to overcome both that behavioral habit side and the chemical mental side of the addiction.
Okay, let's get down to it. How do we quit e-cigarettes? I know, Parker, that worked for you. What was it with this program that does the trick?
Well, what I like about the program so much is that, you know, these anonymous texts, they come at random points in the day, and when you're not thinking about it, there were times where I was really craving it, and then the text would pop up, and it's kind of a reminder to keep myself going, and they would have different actions to take, whether that be physical or, like, something you read up on or something like that, that helps you understand that what you're doing is the right thing, and that pushing forward, there's going to be positive effects.
Gotcha.
And you know, that constant support, like, every single day, they will send something, and just having that constant support is what is extremely beneficial about the program for quitting.
It's kind of like Weight Watchers for e-cigarette smokers. It's a support group. That's fantastic. And you're tackling an e-problem with an e-response, with an e-resolve. Okay, where does one go? There are a lot of people here who are saying, okay, now, like, where do I go? Let's get to this.
So any young person ages 13 to 24 who wants to sign up for This Is Quitting can text Ditch Vape to 88709, and they'll start getting free confidential text messages to help guide them through the quitting process. And those are available even if you're just thinking about quitting. You don't have to be fully ready to commit to a quit date yet. And then you can always go to truthinitiative.org to learn more about all the different ways that our organization is trying to help young people and help create an environment where young people can be successful and live lives free from addiction.
Okay, and the program is called This Is Quitting, is that correct?
The program is called This Is Quitting, and you can text Ditch Vape to 88709.
Perfect. Thank you to the both of you. We appreciate your time today. Well, that'll do it for me today. Put down your e-cigarette and listen to me. E-cigarettes. God. Who came up with that? E. E. What are they going to come up with next? F-cigarettes? Yeah, that's next. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been absolutely fantastic. I admire you. I mean, I'm not going to put you on a pedestal. I'm not going to idolize you. That would be just, that'd be like stalking. I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing it. On the other hand, your tolerance level, being proved by listening to this entire program today, is marvelous. I'm going to get you a t-shirt that says, I Survived the Ron Van Dam Show. The t-shirts will fall apart after a couple of washings. But, you know what it's like? It's like going to Burger King, sticking your hand in the bag, and finding extra onion rings. It's like that. Ooh, deja vu. Didn't you just talk about that at the beginning of the show? Oh, I don't remember that. Oh, I don't remember that. No, I don't. Did I talk about that? Oh, I don't remember that. Onion rings, man. Crazy, crazy concept. You take an onion and you turn it into a ring. A circular piece of shape. And you dip it into batter. And then you deep fry it. To the point where your arteries will harden upon contact. You put it in your mouth, and you actually consume it. You actually have it go down into your stomach. It will not be there for long. Oh, it shall not. your body will try to break it down, digest it, but no, no, no. That onion ring will defy you. It will go directly to your arteries, and then it'll be processed somehow and come out the other end within a matter of moments. It's like Indian food. The only people who can eat Indian food are Indians, are people from India. They have built up a tolerance to this colonic explosion catalyst. Try Indian food someday, but be near a toilet, because it's explosive. Thanks for being here. I have no idea why you did this. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. But until then, I wish you peace.